The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
11 minutes after 6, welcome. Great to be back here on the show here after about, I called it a long Father's Day weekend, but it really ended up it wasn't really a vacation, really wasn't. I was just telling the boss about this because what ended up happening is, as if you follow me on social media, on Facebook, it had just dozens of people commenting on this, but my cat Chester ended up going into his final spin out on Friday, first day of vacation. Remember, we had talked before about the fact that he couldn't gain weight and he was losing weight, and we were getting a little concerned. Lydia and I tried everything, took him to the vet, and they said, well, you know, when it really comes right down to it is Chester was an amazingly smart, intelligent, affectionate cat. And he was a big part of our family. And he had pica, though. And if you've ever had a cat with pica, a cat that will eat anything, especially plastic, he would eat insulation, he would eat plastic, and he ended up doing damage to his digestive system, in other words. And so, in spite of us trying to Chester-proof the house for the last 14 years, finally it took a few of his 9 lives away. And we figured that's what ended up happening. And the vet agreed on this, too. There was just damage done to the system. And so Friday, first day of vacation, he stops eating and drinking. We're going like, oh, no. And so then the house goes into that vigil mode sort of thing. And the entire weekend was spent on this. We're checking him, moving him, trying to keep him comfortable, trying to see if he'll drink water. And it's like, no, it was just one of those things. And then yesterday morning, I woke up at 4 o'clock, normal time, during the work week, even though it was a vacation day, technically. And I checked him and he was hiding in our closet. And that's where he was deciding to check out. He was hiding in the clothes closet and he pretty much knew that he was going out, I guess. And he was still breathing at that point. So I fell back asleep for a few minutes, woke up at 5, went back in, and he had checked out. And so yesterday was Lacrimosa from the Mozart Requiem, if anybody knows that piece, the Day of Tears. And had to take care of business and comfort Linda. It was really Linda's cat. And so anyway, good buddy, after 14 years, ended up checking out. But gosh, he was a great cat. And we spent a lot of the days just kind of laughing about some of the craziness, some of the crazy stuff that he would do. He was so intelligent, which made him very engaging. And, opening the doors, turning lights on, that sort of thing. You'd stick him in a room, and if it had a handle, he'd let himself out quite quickly. And even if there was a child lock on the cabinet, he'd find a way to get around it and get to the toilet paper and start chewing on it. Like I said, pica, that whole thing. But there's still one time, I think one of the funniest things I could ever think about Chester with what he would eat is that we were living in Jacksonville years ago. I had some old reel-to-reel tapes, the old style tape recorder, not the cassettes, but old reel-to-reel tapes. And there were some sitting in a closet. And Chester got into those. And because it was plastic, he loved it. He loved to chew and swallow plastic. So he ate a bunch of the reel-to-reel tape. And then one day Linda was going by and Chester was kind of, fussing with his behind going, what's going on with this? What's sticking out of that? And so, she got a piece of paper towel, grabbed it, and then pulled about 2-3 feet of reel-to-reel out of his tape, out of his behind. And he had that funny look on his face like, woo, that kind of thing. I don't know what was on the tape, if he played it back while it was being, pulled out of his behind or not, but great cat, unfortunately, just wasn't going to live as long as his brother, Maddie. Maddie's still fine. Problem that we're dealing with right now, though, is Maddie is, he's just running around the house howling. Even after Chester passed, I ended up, taking his body and putting it out in front and heading in front of Maddie for a little while and having him sniff it and try to understand that this is what happened. And it didn't really connect with him. He just sort of ran away from him, and I guess it could be the smell of death. But now today, it's like it hit him, and he's running around the house howling. And I think it's just obvious that he's, looking for his litter mate, his brother. that he's had for the last 14 years. So I don't know if we're going to have to get a another cat sooner rather than later just to take care of Maddie's personal needs. I don't know. But needless to say, it was a rough week, rough weekend. And at this point, everyone's just kind of in that healing mode. And thank you for all your kind words. That was really great. And I think we all understand that, you know, there are, I think most of us at some point have had certain animals that are incredibly special in your life that have an extra personal relationship. And I know that there's always a talk in the spiritual realm. It's like, you know, do dogs go to heaven? Do cats go to heaven? Well, I don't know. I know that Billy Graham was once asked that question. And he said words to the effect that, well, my Lord says that, that heaven will be perfect, and it wouldn't be perfect without my dogs. So obviously my dogs are going to be there. I thought that was a good way of putting it. But anyway, Chester is a great cat, great being, wonderful energy in the household. And we're missing him at this moment, okay? All right, join the conversation at 770-5633. Yeah, I actually had to come back to work to relax a little bit. You ever had a situation like that? Boy, I'll tell you, I can't handle much more of this vacation. I'm going to have to go back in and work a little bit this morning, but I'm glad to be with you, all right? We're going to break down some of the headlines around here. We've got a whole lot to talk about this morning. It's Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters, Eric Peters, automotive journalist, and we'll be digging into some of that. President Biden ended up mumbling and bleeding his way to some executive order on immigration. We'll have a little mention of that. And we have State Senator Dennis Linthicum, of course, running for Secretary of State. We'll be breaking down some of his latest. And Ed, Mr. X, will also join the show. I don't know if it's going to be at 7:10 or 8:10. Depends on when he is free to pop in. But this has to do with, the amazingly useless river meeting from Monday. I stopped by there for a few minutes, and both Ed and I did, and we looked at this, and I just said, this is a waste of my time. Absolutely a waste of my time. It's going to have to go to a hearing in Jackson County. This ridiculous Oregon kitchen table, I can't say enough. I can't say enough about the stupidity and the insulting aspect of this. But we'll kick that all around, your calls and opinion, too. We can almost make this a Wheels Up and Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday if there's something on your mind, too. 770-5633 on the Bill Meyer Show.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $445 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month. And let's talk about Ford certified pre-owned vehicles. We're the dealership that sells a make and model as Ford Blue certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70 excluding tax, license, title, and 250 dealer doc fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing to Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope, to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
The following preview has been rated immature for all audiences except metal roof enthusiasts and small children. In the not-too-distant sun-baked future, in a world where leafy debris and pine needles collect on unsuspecting homeowners' roofs, where just one seemingly harmless airborne ember could cause a catastrophic fire. Two unassuming technicians.
He's talking about us.
Embark on an epic journey to fabricate and install fire-resistant metal roofs on Southern Oregon buildings. Heroes will rise. Fire hazards will fall.
This is awesome.
This summer, call the Metal Roofing Division at Fontana Roofing and witness the sheer...
So what do you think?
So it's like we're superhero firefighters except without the supernatural powers, form-fitting costumes, and inherent danger?
Exactly.
Can we drive big, shiny red trucks?
Maybe in the sequel.
For an epic, fire-resistant roof, call Fontana Roofing's Metal Roof Division. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED and KCMD.
622. Appreciate you waking up here. And Wheels Up Wednesday could be a pebble in your shoe Tuesday. Kind of a combo since I was off on Monday and Tuesday. Vicky's in the Applegate. Vicky, how are you doing this morning? What's on your mind this Wednesday?
Well, I just want to say sorry about your kitty. I know it's hard when you lose a pet after that many years. I mentioned that I had a pot-belly pig named Levi, and I got him when he was about 6 weeks old.
Oh, my gosh.
We had already had one pot-belly pig, and my girlfriend way back in the day when they had the auction out there in White City, well, she got these piglets, and this one piglet, he would not shut up. He would just cry and cry and cry and cry.
Yeah.
Well, she knew we were looking for a male, so she brought him over. I had just had meniscus surgery on my knee, and this was back in 96, and she brought him over, and she had him in the little box, and I could hear him crying, and I'm like, oh, my God, take him out of that box. And so she took him out and handed him to me, and he just nuzzled me and loved me, and she's like, oh, my God, what the hell did you do? I said, I have pig... Or something, I don't know. But
so you're the pig. Well, you're the pig whisperer, right?
Oh gosh! And as soon as everybody found out I had a pig, I had like over 300 pig figurines, pig yard stuff, pig everything. But Levi was the best. People would stop and put like Christmas hats on him and take pictures, and they'd feed him and.
You ever get that feeling, Vicky, that given the right circumstances, we can make a pet about. Out of most any animal sometimes.
Oh, for sure.
It doesn't seem that way.
I don't like rats, and my kids had rats, Dots and Peanut, and they, other than peeing all of the time, they were great. I mean, you wouldn't think a rat would be loving and cuddly, but they were.
I have trouble. I would have trouble with the rats, though, I must say, given the fact that everything I do in the broadcast world is to try to keep rats and mice out of things because they're so destructive of everything.
Yeah. You know? Well, these ones were caged. I mean, they were pets, but
yeah.
And I also had an old dog. He was a twin when he was born. His name was Pudge because he was so fat as a puppy. So we named him Pudge, and he was 17 and a half. And I just lost my kitty, Isabel. We called her Izzy.
My gosh, you have like a menagerie over your place at one point.
Oh, my God.
Or another. Well, we only had the two cats. You know, I'm just wondering, do you think I know it's awfully soon to be talking about another cat, but it's obvious that Matt, his brother, Chester's brother, is just despondent right now. He's just going around howling. I mean, do you think it's too early to look at another kitten or something like that? I don't know.
You know, I would probably see if the Humane Society has a room where you can take your cat and just maybe introduce it to a cat.
Yeah.
Rather than just bring a cat home. Because if it doesn't work out, what are you going to do? You know, you don't want to cat fight every day.
Yeah, no. There's no point. No point in something like that.
Yeah.
But it's obvious, though, that, you know, our furry friends, they not only do they get in our hearts, though, but they have their personalities, too. And even though Chester and Matt did not get well or did not get along well during about the last 5 or 6 months. And that was because Chester was physically declining and was not feeling well. Yeah. Most of the time. And
we have a black lab now. And when we lost Mia, our other dog, we said, oh, we're not going to get a dog for a while.
Yeah.
The house was so empty, and that companionship and that stress reliever.
Oh, I am right there with you.
Is our
I'm right there with you. There was a person, I think it was Chris, on social media last night here, Vicky, who had said, "Oh man, you know, we just lost our cat, and you know, I'm never going to go through that again. We're done. We're never going to get another one." And I said, "No, don't ever give up on something like that. It's like you have a bad week with the goodbye, but you think about all that amazing affection and good feelings, and sometimes irritation.
There's things. I have an outside cat named Leo, and he comes in at night because he got in a fight with a raccoon, and it cost me $350. So it's like, no, you're coming in at night. Well, he has 14 toes on the front, and he looks just like a raccoon.
You know, I'm going to have to, you know something, Vicky, I'm almost out of time here, but I'm going to have to come by and visit your place just so I can see, like, you know.
Gosh, you got to meet our goat root beer.
Yeah, I have to meet Vicky of the Applegate's Wild Kingdom, you know, instead of the Mutual of Omaha. It's going to be Vicky of Applegate, Wild Kingdom here. Let's
it's
go.
It's funny because my girlfriend that lives in Central Point, she calls me Vicky Vet. Anytime anything's wrong with any of her animals, she's like, hey.
I could see that, too. Oh, thank you for the call. I love hearing your story about especially the pig. Something about, well, of course, I think pot-bellied pigs are darn cute. Can't help it. And by the way, pigs are incredibly intelligent, which can make them also great or bad because they're, you know, digging into everything. Hi, KBD and KBXG. Who's this? Good morning.
Hi, this is Cherry.
Hey, Cherry. How you doing this morning? Welcome.
I'm so sorry. I just wanted to tell you, though, that we got our two incredible cats at Cats.
Uh-huh.
And we got them right away. When one passed, we got, you know, well, one at a time, of course. But it really makes a difference. Just get another one as soon as you can. It will, you won't regret it. You don't need time to grieve. You just need time to love.
Okay. Well, I'll consider that. It's really about Linda, what Linda's hoping for at this point.
Yeah.
And I know that, in fact, I went to Cats yesterday after I dropped Chester off at the services place, you know, crematorium, you know, to do that. We didn't want to bury him. We wanted to make sure he could stay with us, you know, his ashes afterwards. And so I dropped off at Cats. We had a bunch of expensive dry food that neither of the cats were eating any longer. And so we probably gave them about $300 in dry food and canned food, you know, to help them out. And I saw a bunch of cats that might be, you're right. It's just a wonderful place. Great place.
It is. Well, I just wanted to say one thing that I almost died about 10 days ago.
Wow.
I had to be admitted to the hospital and my heart stopped working altogether. And so I got a pacemaker.
Oh,
and
good for you.
And so I've got to be on pills and that. And if I'm not, I'm gone. But I'm so glad to be here. I'm sick that you were gone. I hated everything when you were gone.
Well, I'm sorry.
The radio.
I'm sorry about that. I'll try to only take vacation when I have to, okay? All right? I am glad you're okay. Thank you very much. I'm glad you're okay. And how's your sweetie taking care of it? Is he helping you out on the nursing?
Well, he was worse off than me. You know, I said, "You can have all my money. I'll see you in the morgue." So he was pretty upset.
Yeah.
But, you know, he got through it. He's great. He's perfect. Great help. We're starting all over kind of thing. But anyway, I cried about Chester today. And our cat has pica as well. So with the plastic, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, man.
What that is about, but it's a battle trying to keep him, you know, away.
You know, the weirdest thing about after Chester died is, like, you know, being out there in the kitchen, I would have a plastic bag on the counter, and we would almost always dive for the plastic bag on the counter to get it into the garbage or get it tucked away soon enough to keep it away from him, to keep him from chewing it up and swallowing it, right?
Yep.
And then both Linda and I looked at that. We don't have to do that now, do we? And we both said, you know, I wish you were still here. So I,
so you could do it.
Sorry about that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I feel so sick about this whole thing.
You come in and you want to be a tough guy, right? you think you're going to do a tough guy thing on the air. It's so funny that way. But thank you very much, Cherry. I'm glad you're doing okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. I hope you too.
All right. It's a cat. A cat for crying out loud. But anyway, let me go to line three. Hi, KMED and KPXG. Good morning.
This is Minor Dave.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, but my two cats, Kiki and Angel, reacted to your story about your loss.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell they feel sorry for you, and they wish you good wishes.
Hey, you know, by the way, you sent me an email this morning. Thank you very much for that, Dave. You sent me an email about you think that people are smearing you in the legal world. I'll have to talk with you about that sometime, okay?
Yeah, that'd be great, because I don't know what to do about it, because I can't find a specialist to handle slander.
Okay, well, if they're messing with you out there in the media and saying untrue things about you, you're not really you're not a public figure, though. You're not a public figure. Okay.
Yeah, well, it's a sleuth thing, and it has to do with the missing person that they're using a little bit of truth mixed with a lot of lies.
Sounds like the typical way for today. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. 632. Hi, KMED and KBXG. Who's this?
This is Carol.
Hey, Carol. How you doing?
I'm okay. And I'm sorry, so sorry about your cat.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's tough. We've had pets, too, over the years.
Yeah, they sneak into your heart, don't they?
Yes, they do. And right now I'm babysitting one, a dog.
Uh-huh.
So, for my son and
daughter. Do you have one yourself at this point, Carol?
Pardon?
Do you have a dog yourself?
I don't have one. No, I don't have one right now. But because I'm gone a lot.
Oh, yeah. You know, if you're going to be gone a lot, it's probably not a great day to have a pet then, is it? Not good for the pet.
No. Yeah. Then you'd have to worry about baby having it, somebody watch it and take care.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your kind words. Really appreciate
that. But then I had something else, too. I went to the Monday night.
did you go to the ODF fire meeting, or did you go to the jet boat meeting?
At the library.
The library. Okay, so you went to that useless meeting.
It was ridiculous. You couldn't hear a thing. You know, it was everybody talking at once. I prefer a public hearing where one person talks at a time rather than this circus.
Good for you. Well, you know, I'm hoping that we can pressure, the Marine Board. Yeah, the Marine Board, along with Jackson County, if Jackson County could host a public hearing and actually have true public input rather than this fraudulent consensus process, which was brought, this dog and pony show.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'll never go to another one.
Well, you know, Carol, I was the one thing I noticed is on the pieces of paper they handed to you when you walked in. And yeah. and they were saying, wasn't the question they were asking like, where are you or what is your connection?
Yeah, what is your connection?
Yeah, what is your connection to this Rogue River question? Is this like, we live here. Is that enough? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Well, I put rafting. We did, family used to raft a lot, and they still do, a lot of them do. My daughter's an excellent captain, rafting captain.
Glad to know that.
She can read the river and stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're not going to go to that meeting again, and I won't either, too, okay? I'll join you in.
No, it's ridiculous.
All right.
No sense, no purpose.
Thank you for the call, and we will continue that conversation with Mr. X a little bit later on what we should be doing, okay? And you take care. And thanks for having, taken one for the team by having gone to that. So this way you can actually see the fraud for what it is. 635 on KMED and 99.3 KPXG, the jukebox. Eric Peters joins me here in a couple of minutes. Wheels Up Wednesday, and we'll dig right in, all coming up. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Life's busy, and off is not an option. You need to be on the water, on the call, on the road. Life's waiting. Power on with Batteries Plus. Visit one of over 700 locations today.
Does your property have adequate, defensible space for fire season? Hi, this is Jeff with Quality Tree Service. Fire officials are again urging property owners to maintain a buffer clear of brush, low-hanging branches, and other flammable material. At Quality Tree Service, we can visit your property and recommend trimming, brush clearing, and tree removal if necessary to help provide fire protection for your home and outbuildings. Call me today for a thorough inspection and no obligation quote. Visit QualityTreeServiceMedford.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Much of the country is still in the grip of a heat wave. The National Weather Service says high temperatures will persist in the Great Lakes region for another day or two, with peak heat reaching the mid-Atlantic states by the weekend. Fire crews continue to battle wildfires in California. And meanwhile, in New Mexico, fires have killed one person and forced evacuations in the southern part of the state. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu claims the U.S. is withholding weapons needed for the war in Gaza. He criticized President Biden for slowing Israel's military offensive against Hamas. But the White House says 2,000-pound bombs are the only weapons being withheld right now. Secretary of State Blinken says everything else is moving as it normally would. No trading on Wall Street today. Stock markets are closed in observance of Juneteenth. This is SRN News.
An intelligent solution is influenced by timing. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It is rebate season for Bryant cooling products. Don't swelter in extreme heat. Now is the time to replace your heat pump or air conditioner. Advanced Air and Bryant do whatever it takes to keep you comfortable all summer long. That means uninterrupted air conditioning throughout the hottest days of summer. Call Advanced Air for intelligent heating and cooling solutions. Online at myadvancedair.com.
Save with factory rebates on high-efficiency air conditioners. Visit myadvancedair.com.
Summertime is truck time in Southern Oregon, so I'm going to keep the $445 a month deal going on Ford F-150s. Joel here at Butler Ford and Truck Center. Tow the boat or camper for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Go haying, hunting, or hauling for only $445 a month and a new Ford F-150. Whatever you do in your truck, make sure you do it in one from Butler Ford and Truck Center, where I'll show you how to lease a brand new Ford F-150 for only $445 a month. And let's talk about Ford Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles. We're the dealership that sells any make and model as Ford Blue Certified. Ford backs up these pre-owned vehicles with a comprehensive warranty and roadside assistance. Butler says yes to easy financing to everyone. Butler says yes to $445 a month on a new F-150. And Butler says yes to certified pre-owned vehicles with warranty. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes south of Medford, right off of exit 19, where you know we've got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned hybrid and electric vehicle.
36-month lease payments and 7,500 miles per year with 7,500 cash or trade to a 70 excluding tax, license, saddle, and 250 dealer dock fee on vehicle with cap cost of $42,884. Approved financing through Ford Credit. Offer expires 7/9/24.
Bi-Coastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is publishing in July. Thank you to all of our winners and advertisers who will appear in the coming edition. In the meantime, you can visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to flip through the current magazine and find all of Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Also, please email rvcontact@bicoastal.media if your business is interested in being a pickup location for the 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine.
106.3 KMED, and this is the Bill Myers Show.
On Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters, automotive journalist, epautos.com. Great guys, politics, good commentary. And you just pretty much got it all there this morning. Eric, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good, Bill, and thank you for that kind introduction. And aren't you glad that you're too old to have to worry about dodging the draft?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about that the other day with my own two children, especially my young son. What is the cutoff, 26?
I think it's 18 to 26, and for the first time ever, according to my understanding, the so-called selective service system, i.e. the indentured service system, is going to selectively enroll women as well from that same age cohort.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, because we know that every culture that takes its actual, the people who care for the next generation and puts them in the battlefield, that always works out really well.
Always
long-term.
Works out really well.
Yeah. It's... I seem to recall that, back in the days when I was growing up, it wasn't all that long ago in which it was women and children first, off the sinking ship, and now we throw them into the grinder first.
Well, now it's
first.
Eve first.
Ah, yeah, Yeah. Speaking of that, and now we see that, and this is, by the way, a headline just broke just a few minutes ago, that Putin is now signing an agreement there with North Korea. What could go wrong in a world like that? It's almost like we're stumbling towards a major conflict of some sort. And don't you think
it feels that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I know I'm going to get shouted down as being one of Putin's poodles here, but the other day the man came out and put forward what seemed to me to be perfectly reasonable preconditions for having a ceasefire, or at least a discussion about a ceasefire. And of course, these were summarily dismissed by our ruling oligarchy in the West.
And what is it about, the end of the Soviet Union back then, in which, we were supposed to have actually, what a lost opportunity to have actually had a rapprochement there with Russia. And it seems like everything about our oligarchy has been about shoving us to future conflict. You just can't help but notice that.
Yeah, well, remember that dictum about war is the health of the state. You know, peace is bad news for the government, because then people don't have to live in fear and anxiety, and you can't badger them with injunctions about how it's not patriotic to pay your money over to the taxes and send your sons and daughters off to places like Kyiv to get blown up and blow people up.
Something tells me that we're going to see a revival of some of the Vietnam era talk. I can almost see what were some of the bumper stickers you would say, war is profitable, invest your son. Remember those ones?
Yeah, well, actually, I think that's the silver lining to this dark cloud. My gut tells me that, irrespective of people's political affiliation, for the most part, I think that probably better than two-thirds of the people in this country do not want to see their children sent to Kyiv.
And the other aspect of this is that you don't need a draft if you're actually going to war to truly defend your country and your people and your land. Mm-hmm. People volunteer for that kind of stuff.
Of course.
When stuff is going on. You're doing a draft, really, in the United States, I think, for wars of choice, which means foreign policy wars, really.
It's essentially the same reason that you have to have EV mandates, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a good idea, people are naturally going to say, hey, that's a good idea. I'll have some of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's a bad idea, then you have to get out the bayonets and stick them in people's backs.
Pretty much. That is, okay, well, we're not going to solve that problem right now, are we? All we can do is just say I'm hoping that people aren't fooled again by this situation, okay? Now then, let's talk about a few things when it comes. By the way, I had a letter for you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just find this here. And Rod wrote me, and he had a question for you. Could you ask Eric if he's heard anything about Hyundai recalls? I got a recall notice for 2014 Hyundai Accent stating that the ABS, anti-lock brake fluid, may leak and cause a fire. Don't park the car in your garage or near the house, and yet it would be months before I could get an appointment. And when I called the dealer to do this, they stated that it required replacement of a fuse. Another one stated a recall for installation of an anti-theft device. It doesn't seem like a safety issue. So anyway, they were talking that it could be hours or weeks or months. Is this anything unusual in the situation right now on a recall? What do you know about this? Is anything?
Well,
they're just kind of wondering if it's
sure
a scam.
I'm not sure about the brake one. I've heard about the anti-theft one. You know, you may have heard the news coverage out in California, I think it was. There was a big hue and cry about thefts of Hyundai and Kia vehicles because allegedly they're easier to steal because it's easier for thieves to get around the anti-theft systems within the car. Of course, they're blaming Hyundai and Kia for that. So Hyundai and Kia are having to try to figure out ways to make their cars harder to steal. So there's that. As far as the brake issue, I suspect the fire issue probably has to do with the brake line being too close to a hot exhaust part, something like that.
Okay.
It's troubling, to think that you've got an issue where the vehicle potentially might be unsafe, literally not in a way that we mock it in safety, but actually unsafe. And people are put in the position of essentially having to continue to drive the vehicle because there are so many vehicles out there and there are only so many dealers, and the dealers can't deal with the throughput. That's really the problem. And
Another
compounding problem is the supply chain stuff. It's like with the airbags. You've got half a million airbags out there that need to be replaced. And then they got to get the airbags to the dealers, and they got to get the cars to the dealerships, and then they got to get a tech to replace the airbags. It's a huge ordeal to do all this stuff.
I know that when my wife's Passat, we have a 2006 Passat, when it had a problem with its airbag or had the recall come up with this, it took a year and a half, 18 months, in order to get that replaced. By the time the airbag came, there was a technician available to really do it, And I mean, once it was in there, it was like a day, you know, to get it done. But you're right. Just these recalls are nothing to be done or engaged in lightly, from the looks of it.
No, but you know, the letter writer might try having a conversation with the dealership, expressing concerns about the safety of the vehicle, and see whether they can, you know, give them a loaner. In the meanwhile, point out, look, you're basically expecting me to drive a car that could potentially result in me getting hurt or my family getting hurt. I don't think that's right. And I think the right thing to do here, until you guys can fix it, is to give me a loaner car.
And then you can bring it up as an adder, as a matter of safety, implying a liability, I guess, is what you're kind of speaking toward. Okay. All right. Very good. And speaking of cars, this one dying, though, the other day. This has to do with yet another sedan bites the dust. Which one was that?
Yeah, this is the Volvo S60, and Volvo has announced that it will cease building it. It actually builds that car in the United States.
Oh.
Won't be doing that anymore, and it's going away. And, you know, the reason why is quite understandable. For $42,000, what you get is a compact-sized front-wheel drive car with a four-cylinder engine and a tiny trunk that's not any bigger than the trunk you'd get in a Honda Civic sedan, which, by the way, is pretty much the only small car that still sells, along with models like the Toyota Corolla and the Mazda 3, because they're modestly priced. You know, you're not paying a lot of money, so you don't get a lot of car. I think the reason why people are not buying larger sedans anymore is because you don't get much. You know, you and I have talked about what's happened to the Toyota Camry and the Honda Accord. Those are mid-sized cars, but now they only come with four-cylinder engines.
Yeah.
You're going to pay $30,000 for that? A lot of people are saying no to that, and it gets even more egregious as you move up the food chain into the luxury segment, which, by the way, is the only segment where you can still find a so-called full-size sedan. And by the way, they're actually mid-sized if you compare it to cars made back in the 70s and 80s. And for that, you spend $100,000, and what do you get? You get a little six-cylinder engine, maybe, and a teeny tiny little trunk. It's just not worth it. And that's why people who have the means are buying big SUVs and big trucks, and everybody else is stuck with a crossover.
But is that really what's been driving the crossover, because of the lack of what you're going to get out of a sedan for most people?
Yeah, well, and what's been driving all of it are these federal regulations that have been making it impossible, effectively, to mass produce the large sedans that used to be the go-to vehicle for average people. They weren't luxury cars. They were Chevys and Fords and Dodges, and they're all gone now. But the CAFE regs have made it very difficult to produce a full-size sedan because of the categorization that the regs use to assign penalties for not meeting the standards, which favor, ironically, big trucks and big SUVs. And that's why you're seeing more big trucks and big SUVs and fewer reasonably sized cars, meaning the kind of car that a family could actually use as opposed to a commuter car.
And yet there are some used vehicles in the sedan world which are just incredible buys. I don't know. Do you ever see that? There's a couple of other car guys that I've watched every now and then on YouTube. Mm-hmm. One of them, of course, is Scotty talking with his hands and, doing his thing. And but there was another guy who calls himself the Car Wizard. Have you ever watched him at all? Just curious.
No, I don't know the Car Wizard. I know Scotty, though. He's hilarious. I like what he does.
Oh, he is hilarious. Don't buy this. It's junk. You know, isn't that what? I think he says that about every other sentence. Don't buy that. It's junk. But there he was talking about this Car Wizard fella. Was talking about six or seven cars, like in the $6,000 to $8,000 range, and he was talking about the enduring popularity of those old Lincoln and like Lincoln Town Cars, and also also like the Ford Crown Vics, the one that used to go for the cop cars. And he says,
absolutely, and the Town Car is just a fancier version of the Crown Vic,
right?
And the Chevy Caprice from that period, same type of car. There are Buicks and other vehicles that were very comparable to that. And they're wonderful. You know, some of them will take six people, and they have big trunks, and you can actually pull a trailer with them because they're rear-wheel drive, and they tend to have V8 engines.
And they have frame. They have a frame, actually, rather than a unibody construction, which means it can actually, you know, it's very sound, very, very tough, I guess is what we're
saying. Yep,
tons
of room.
Right?
You can stretch out in them. You know, they're the car to take. If you're going to do a, you know, 8-9 hour road trip, that's the car to be in.
Yeah, indeed. But you know, so it's not that sedans aren't popular. It's that sedans, the way they're being built now, you're not getting as much for your money on the mid-air, on the mid-tier,
you're
right?
You're expected to pay more and get substantially less. You know, look at the Crown Vic, which you could get through 2011. This was a full-size car by the standards, of the heyday, of the big boat era. And it cost about $35,000 when it was new. Today, you spend $90,000 to get something considerably smaller, like an Audi A8 or a BMW 7 Series or a Mercedes S. And those things all come standard with six-cylinder engines, not a V8, you know, and they're just smaller, less posh and luxurious in a lot of ways.
You can see how far we've fallen in some respects. I went to Pottsville over the weekend, and where they have, it's this area that has old farm equipment. It's like a museum area outside of Grants Pass in Merlin. And they have a old-time tractor show, and it was just always, I always go there every Father's Day weekend. But they have a museum in there, and they had a 1965 Chrysler 300 inside, a convertible, inside that museum. Along with I think they had a 66 Cadillac Coupe de Ville, too, for that matter. And you know something, Eric? You sometimes forget how big, how long those cars used to be. And it was not unusual, really.
No, and they were uniquely American. You know, that's one of the tragedies of our time. You know, what we're becoming is sort of like a sad imitation of Europe, in that everybody gets a little small box to drive around in. At one time, post-war, up through the 1970s and into the 80s, Americans, and by that I mean average people, blue-collar and working-class people, were able to drive these wonderful big cars that had outsized personalities in addition to outsized engines, and that's all been outregulated by the federal government.
Yeah, pretty soon we're all going to be driving something like a smart car, right, with meep, meep,
sure.
And we all go meep, meep around each other, you know?
Well, I mean, if they allow us that, you know, even that would be generous. You know, as you and I have talked about many times, the end goal is to eliminate the car, period. They're making it smaller and smaller and smaller, engines smaller and smaller, until eventually they hope they just disappear.
Well, unless the people rise up and then they attack the central government, and then it's all of a sudden Mad Max. And then we're, you know, smoking cigarettes and driving all sorts of vehicles.
I don't know that
vehicles.
Has to happen, though. You know, people talk apocalyptically. I think all that has to happen is for enough of us to say no and just opt out and not play along anymore, and thereby end the put an end to this idea that it's proper for the government to be involved in these things at all. We do that and the government loses its power. It does depend on our consent, even if it's sullen. So we should stand up and stop giving our consent to
it. So stop being so sullen in that particular respect, all right? All right, it's 6:52, talking with Eric Peters. Cars and transportation is so much more, and we'll head to the phones now if you have a question or comment for him. Hi, who's this? You're with Eric. Good morning.
Hi, this is Earl.
Earl, take it away.
Hey. Got a question about a new truck I see coming out. It's called Caterpillar, made by Caterpillar.
Huh.
New pickup.
I have no idea. I've not heard about that.
Input on that.
Yeah. So where did you hear this? Because both of us, Eric, you didn't even know about this coming out. Caterpillar truck?
No, I've never heard such a thing. No.
It's all over YouTube.
Huh.
Well, I'll have to check it out. I think it was Cummins that got out of the on-road diesel market entirely because of the difficulty of getting past all of the various emissions rigmarole. But I'll check it out. You know, is it an on-road street-legal vehicle?
It, it's a beautiful and awesome-looking truck.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Eric, that'd be some homework. Maybe you can look into that for next week then. Maybe we'll talk about that then.
Absolutely,
we'll
do it.
All right. There's something about it. I don't know if the brand name, you know, the Caterpillar, you know, my Caterpillar pickup. Well, I don't know. Maybe that it has cachet. I don't know. But
I'd rather have that than a Rivian, whatever that is.
Oh, speaking of Rivian, there's another one, another story that I had saved this morning.
What, the bankruptcy of Fisker?
Yes, that's what I was going to say, Fisker. Fisker, and this was another one of those pure EV plays, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, ultra-high-end EVs. And again, you know, they had been the recipient of all sorts of accolades about how magnificent they were and how they were leading the way in toward this brave new world of electrification, and they've gone bankrupt, along with Nikola, which was another one. And it looks like everybody else is going to be starting to go bankrupt, too, including Ford and General Motors and all these other companies that have hemorrhaged billions of dollars on this EV fiasco.
Well, it comes right down to it. The big problem with a pure EV play like Fisker is that if you don't have regular vehicles that actually make a profit to make up for the money you're not making on the Fisker, you're not going to make it, are you?
Correct. Exactly. You know, if Ford's losing, by their own admission, $100,000 on every EV they manufacture, can you imagine how long they'd last? Wouldn't be very long if they didn't have Mustangs, real ones, not the Mustang Mach-E, Mustangs and F-150s, not the Lightning, to carry the load.
You know how much they were losing at Fisker on every vehicle they made?
$200,000.
Well, not a little high. $130,000. So that made that made Ford look economical by comparison. $100,000 for each EV they lost there. But that's okay. They'll make it up on volume, right? That old joke. That sort of thing.
Yep.
All right. Before we do take off here, though, Eric, what have you been reviewing this week? And I believe it is an EV, isn't it?
It is, yeah, a Nissan Ariya, if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
By the way, where do they get these names? Do they go inside?
I don't know.
Do they open up the medicine cabinet and look at some of the medications and do a riff on it? I mean, I don't know.
I know. You know, it's again, like they call the Volvo that we were talking about earlier, the base trim is what, the Core B5 or something. That's its name.
Uh-huh.
I agree with you. It's like, what the heck is that? It sounds like something you order from your doctor or a pharmaceutical ad. But
yeah, ask your doctor about Ariya, right? That kind of thing.
Yeah, I tried to juxtapose the Ariya against the very popular Rogue that Nissan sells a lot of. They're both very similar. They're small crossovers. But then they're very dissimilar in that the Ariya, being an EV, costs a lot more, and it goes a lot less far. With the base engine, the base battery and motor, its range is just over 200 miles. Now, you can get more range, and you can get more power, and I think that's what Nissan is hoping is going to sell the thing. You got a variety of different options and configurations that you can go with. But at the end of the day, they're just not selling very many of them, just like everybody else, because of the problem of dealing with this constant hassle of thinking about, oh, gosh, I'm running out of range, and how much time have I got to sit around waiting for the thing to recharge? Because nothing's more pleasant than spending a half hour at a Sheetz instead of getting to work or home.
It's really interesting to talk to people who are in the business. My son sells cars now, and he's at a dealership over in Central Oregon. And when he first started there, he was saying, oh, Bill, you have to buy this. You have got to take a look at this EV that we're selling here. This was about 2 years ago when he first joined the dealership. You've got to get this, and this is such a cool thing, and it's so this is the coming thing. And I said, Will, sorry, this is not going to sell. It might be selling right now because of the subsidies, but when the subsidies go away and the extra costs and the limitations of this EV come into effect, I said, I'm not saying that it's a bad EV. It was a perfectly fine car. But the limitations, when people actually figure out the limitations, they're going to stop buying it. And I talked to him the other day, and he said, yeah, they're cutting the prices on them big time at the dealership he was with.
Let's posit some hypothetical best-case scenario where they've managed to reduce the time it takes to fully charge one of these things to just 10 minutes. That's still more than twice as long as it takes to fully fuel a car. Are you willing? Am I willing? Are most people willing to just sit there at a gas station for 10 minutes rather than just, 3 to 4 or 5 to get back on the way? Most people are not going to be willing to do that. And so I think this thing is really headed for disaster, and sooner rather than later.
And once you're used, though, to the filling up in 2 or 3 minutes, and then all of a sudden you said even 10 minutes, you're right. People, time is money. And that's, another aspect of this, which doesn't get talked about very much in the EV question, I guess.
And really, it's an irrecoverable cost, as you say. That's another way to look at it. You're never going to get those 5 minutes back. And, oh, it's only 5 minutes, really? Well, now you're doing it 2 or 3 times a week, and it's 15 minutes, and then you do it over the course of a month. Now you're talking an hour, and it's many hours and days over, a period of time. And that gets old after a while.
Can you think about how many billions, if not trillions, of dollars would have been saved in our world if instead of trying to push the pure electric vehicle, we had all say, hey, let's go for plug-in hybrids, which to me seems to be the best of all worlds. You have your long range if you want it, and if you're just tootling around town on a short commute, you plug it in when you get home. What's wrong with that?
Even better, if the federal government were not keeping us safe with all of the mandates and regulations that are required to make a car safe, according to the federal government, we could have 1,500-pound cars that got 70 or 80 miles per gallon without even needing a hybrid. That would be the ultimate solution, in my opinion, if you're really wanting efficiency as opposed to stupidity.
I'm kind of curious. Are a lot of people maybe just giving up the car and going to the motorcycle where there's still some freedom available, for the time being at least? I don't know.
I think you have to break that down demographically. A lot of people in the 16 to 25-ish age cohort don't even have a driver's license. They've given up on cars and driving before they even ever owned a car or even learned how to drive.
Oh, they'll be perfect Europeans as the time goes on, huh?
Yeah. Now, people who are car enthusiasts, a lot of them do have motorcycles because, motorcycles are kind of like what cars used to be in that they're still fun and they're still affordable. For about $10,000, you can get a really neat motorcycle, and that neat motorcycle will probably also get 40 or 50 miles per gallon. So it's like having a Prius that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. What about, in fact, didn't you start up Little Stinker the other day? I think it was one of your videos.
I did. I posted a video of it also.
You have to go to EP Autos just to see him start up. I'm sure that Greta Thunberg was apoplectic watching you start up Little Stinker. Tell people what Little Stinker is all about. People got to go and just watch the startup of this two-stroker.
It's a 70s-era Kawasaki two-stroke street bike, which, of course, you can't get anymore because they've been outlawed. And two-strokes are wonderful because they produce more power than four-strokes, and they also produce a uniquely marvelous sound. And you'll be able to hear that sound if you play that video.
Yeah, it's kind of like the sound of three chainsaws, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like three maniacs with three chainsaws running at the top speed.
Yeah, but boy, the days of the oil injection, you'd put the two-stroke oil in it and they would inject it automatically and it would just be a little bit smoky, just as a matter of course. Now, is that the motorcycle you have which has such a steep torque curve that it's actually dangerous in an unskilled driver's hands rider's hands?
Yeah, they were known back in the day as the Widowmaker, particularly the 750cc version, because at lower RPMs it had very little power. So inexperienced people would get on it and go, "Ah, things not moving," and they'd rev it, and when you hit the power band around 4,000, the front wheel would come up and you'd be looking at the sky.
Oh my
gosh!
Which
is fine if you know what you're doing on a motorcycle, but if you don't, you can get into trouble.
Yeah, so take a look at starting up of Little Stinker over on epautos.com, along with the Nissan Ariya. And overall, though, is it a competent EV for what it is? And what is it? What are they charging for that? Do you recall?
Yeah, of course they're competent in the sense that they kind of work. The problem is of all the limitations. And I think the base price, I don't have it in front of me, but I think the base price for the thing is about $42,000, and that's the Rogue that I compare it to. I think the Rogue starts around $27,000 or $28,000.
And the Rogue, of course, gets much longer range and is much easier to refuel. And
yeah, standard 500 miles range versus a little over 200.
And you see, and when somebody claims that the EV has 200, you have to almost subtract 20% out of that because you're never really supposed to draw your vehicle down all the way. Otherwise, you damage it. You just can't do that.
Right. Well, and you also are potentially going to be bricked by the side of the road. You know, having to keep that reserve is important because of the issue of figuring out where you're going to get charged and, you know, where you're going to have time to charge, whereas you can always risk running a little low on gas because the absolute worst case scenario is that you might have to walk a mile or so down the road to a gas station, but then you can bring the gas back to your car and be back on your way.
So $42,000 for $160 range, that's probably a tough sell for a lot of people, but although Nissan is doing it like all the other car companies are doing it because they're looking for the corporate average fuel economy, the emissions thing, it's trying to go with all the fatwas, right? The regulatory.
These are all compliance cars, with the exception of Tesla, which of course bases its business exclusively on these EVs. All the other manufacturers are building them as compliance cars, by which is meant it's necessary to make them in order to make the federal government happy, and that's the bottom line.
All right. Good story. Always appreciate the talk here, Eric, and great conversation. By the way, the Orange Man jumpsuit story in politics, another great one to check up this morning on epautos.com.
We'll be able to talk about that maybe next week, because I think he potentially is going to get sentenced next week or the week after. Isn't that correct?
Getting pretty darn close to it before the Republican convention. We'll see about that, okay?
Yep.
And final question I had, do you know what you're going to review for next week yet for a little taste?
Yeah, thank God. I'm not getting an EV or another crossover. It's a Land Rover SUV, so we'll be able to have some fun talking about that.
Okay, good. Tell us all, put it through its paces, and we'll kick it around next Wednesday, all right? Thank you.
Sounds good.
epautos.com, Eric Peters, 4 minutes after 7. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KBXG Grants Pass at 99.3 FM.
Johnny Cash.